Good day, and welcome to the IG Group pre-close trading statement. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to hand the conference over to Tim Hawkins, Chief Executive of IG Group. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm joined this morning by Chris Hill and Kieran McKinney. Chris is going to start by talking through the trading results, and then I'll come back and give some more general thoughts on the broader market and the outlook, after which we'll take Q&A. Just to set the scene, as I'm sure you all know, markets have been extremely quiet for the last few months, probably actually the longest sustained quiet period I can remember for about 10 years. And certainly we've been quiet, but I think many of our competitors are suffering much worse than us, much worse than us, and I think this is certainly a time when scale is crucially important. And on that note, I'll hand over to Chris.
Thanks, Tim. Good morning, everyone. As we've alluded to, it remains relatively subdued. Revenue in Q2 was £87.5 million. Added to Q1 gives us £169 million for the half. So we're down in the half by 14%. Sequential quarter on growth of 7%, but that certainly feels more seasonal than any uplift in core activity and is what we would expect going from Q1 to Q2. And of course, active client numbers in the more mature markets were down, but revenue per client held up well because there's a core of regular traders in there who will find their own opportunities. In Europe and the rest of the world, this is reversed. Again, this is perhaps intuitive. These markets are growing reasonably rapidly in terms of number of clients trading, but less experienced clients trade less when the markets are dull. We also make reference to account openings, which have been a little disappointing in absolute terms. But again, that pattern is in tune with the underlying subdued market activity. I am quite encouraged that on big days, clients will shift towards active moving markets. Certainly in the second quarter, we saw a good deal of activity around the Dow, around the presidential election, and the revenue there was strong. There is certainly a growing underlying level of activity which will flex depending on market activity, and we're definitely putting further clear blue water between us and the competition, as I think Tim will go on to talk about. But given that the conditions for revenue generation didn't improve in the second quarter, we began to look even more carefully at costs and investment. We've taken action already, which will get us costs approximately flat year on year. That's flat for the full year. And then we'll monitor things carefully. If trading in Q3 confirms our cautious revenue guidance, we'll look to do some more here. But I think at the moment we will see how things go. And with that, I'll hand back across to Tim.
Thanks, Chris. As I started off by saying, I think this quiet period demonstrates the benefits of scale relative to our competition. We've been gaining market share in a number of our main markets. So in the UK, for spread betting, market share up from 41 to 44%. In the UK, for CFDs, up from 24 to 32%. In Australia, up from 34 to 37%. And then in Singapore, up from 12 to 15%, which puts us jointly in the lead for Forex in Singapore. All of those numbers are based on overall share of market participants, so i.e. number of individuals trading. And that's obviously an imperfect market share number. I think if you were to look at our share of revenue, that would be higher, because certainly our focus is on concentrating on the higher value clients, whereas some of our competitors are happy to go for very low value clients that we're less interested in. During the period, we relaunched our main brand as IG. The new brand positioning is intended to reflect our positioning as clear market leader, and it provides a consistent look and feel across all the different ways that our audience might see us, whether that's advertising, websites, or trading platforms. This has been very well received, both anecdotally and in research that we've done, not just with our own clients, but also with competitors' clients. And we think it positions us very well for the next leg of our growth. We continue to invest in technology, where client feedback tells us that clients appreciate it and that it's a valuable differentiator. We continue to push hard on developing very rich native mobile apps. We continue to build out our in-house insight research tool. And a project that we're working on at the moment is a single website and a single logon for both spread betting and CFDs in the UK, which is really the final step in the brand project, bringing everything together under a single brand. All of the anecdotal evidence suggests that all of our competition are having an extremely tough time, and that most of them are either loss-making or only making very small levels of profit. And that really reflects the benefits that we enjoy as a high-margin, high-scale business. As Chris says, we need to be realistic about what might come in H2. And if we do see similar levels of activity in H2 to what we saw in H1, then I think revenue in line with H1 would be a realistic outcome for H2. As Chris has said, we've already taken some cost out in order to hold overall operating costs flat year on year for the full year, and we'll continue to monitor the cost base as we get a clearer view of how H2 is progressing. Just to touch on regulatory matters, most of these subjects I think are familiar to many of you. The FTT process, the financial transaction tax in Europe, continues very slowly to progress. After spending some time in Brussels over the last few weeks talking to a number of the countries which are involved in the enhanced cooperation process and also to the Director General of Tax, I'm getting increasingly comfortable that the eventual outcome on FTT will be benign, although I don't expect complete clarity on this for some considerable time to come. It is a very slow, drawn-out process. In Japan, the regulator has started to look at binary options, and it's not yet clear what impact that might have on this element of our Japanese business, but we've been actively involved in discussions with the regulator. Binaries make up about 30% of revenue from Japan in H1, so they're quite significant to that business, although Japanese binaries only represent about 1% of overall group revenue. In the US, we've seen some positive news where the CFTC has taken action against two Irish companies which were illegally offering OTC binary contracts to US residents. And that's very good news for Nadex. We are the only legal venue for US retail clients to trade binary options. There are other OTC binary providers operating legally in the US, and we do expect that the CFTC will continue to take action against those in due course. And then finally, in Australia, ASIC, I think, continue to move slowly towards recommending full UK-style client money segregation, which is certainly something we've lobbied for a long time and can only benefit us. So in summary, this is clearly a market where being the scale player with clear technology and brand leadership is a huge benefit, and I think life must be extremely uncomfortable for any of our competitors at the moment. With that, I'll open it up to questions, so I'll hand back to our operator, Marion.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow the signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing *2. Again, please press *1 to ask a question. The first question comes from Philip Dobbin from Espirito Santo. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Can I just ask you about the sequential development of revenues month by month through the second quarter? And in particular, what was the level of client balances at the end of the period? Thank you.
Morning, Phil. I'll take the second question first, which is about client balances. We haven't put out the absolute level today, but just to get you to understand that in relative terms, we talked about sort of January through March, April, we had what we were talking about near record levels of client money. That dipped through the summer, but it's now built back up again. So, you know, we're still client money in the range sort of 750, 800 million. So the point being, we haven't seen any exodus of client funds. The money is on the account, and when conditions are such that clients find it interesting, they will trade. And then in terms of revenue progression month on month, September was, as we'd expect, against a record month, it was down about 26%. October was actually up 7%, but October had two extra working days, so if I strip those out, actually October looks more or less flat year on year. And then November was down about 6-7%.
Thanks very much.
The next question will come from Hugo Mills from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi there, guys. Just a couple of ones for me. First of all, can you talk a bit about the your costs and how you see where you see the opportunity to take costs out and how we should see marketing developing? And secondly, I'm just wondering if you can give us a bit of colour on any early indications of take-up from your marketing campaign you've been doing.
Morning, Hugo.
Morning.
The cost base, with the change in level of revenue, you'd expect there to be some flex in the bonus, and that certainly has come through. Other than that, there's a bunch of other cost initiatives, but principally we've taken marketing down by a bit, and that's just reflecting that conditions are somewhat quieter, and in terms of the share of voice that we now have versus the competition, it made sense to do so. And then the other big cost is obviously headcount costs, and we have reduced our expected hires that we wanted to put through the year. And also we've taken some heads out. So I talked back in July about some inflation impact coming through on that part of the cost base, and certainly what we've done now is to take that out, so we're looking at a picture that's more flat for costs.
Okay.
And then second one on the marketing campaign, let me hand that across to Tim.
We've been very happy with the feedback we've had, both anecdotally and in research from the most recent marketing campaign. But it's worth saying that the typical journey for a potential client to become a client is not as simple as a client sees an advert and decides immediately to open an account. It can be a process of maybe as much as 6 months between a potential client first thinking about it and actually taking the step, and it can often be something happening in the market making markets more interesting which is the trigger. But certainly the sort of research we've done suggests that if you took somebody who before they'd seen the advertising was answering on a scale of 1 to 10 how likely are you to start spread betting, was answering kind of 1 or 2, then the advertising is taking them up to something more like a 6. But probably you've got to get to 7 or 8 before you're actually ready to open an account. So it's taking them a long way through the journey, but the journey is quite a long one.
Okay, and then lastly, is there any more colour you can give on that November? I mean, was it against a very strong comparative? I mean, just to try and understand, is there a particular region that was weak in November? I mean, just a bit more colour.
I mean, I think the seasonality last year was that October was relatively weak, and then we saw a bounce back in November, so it was a relatively strong November.
Okay,
Can I just be clear on the numbers I gave? So September was down 21%, October was up 7%, and November was down 9%.
Thank you.
As a reminder to ask a question, please press star 1. The next question comes from James Vogel from Graham Capital.
Good morning. Has the product mix changed much, considering interest rates are near zero and don't move, and currencies, all the majors are so flat on the year? Are you seeing more trading going on in equity space than you used to as a percentage? And also on not just marketing, but sort of on bonuses to current customers. Have you been doing promotions, and have they been successful?
Morning, James. I think the mix shift that we've seen is, yes, we have seen a pickup in equities. The equities rally in September certainly saw an increase in revenue per trade, and equities as a percentage of revenue for Q2 was up to 20%. That compares to about 15% in the first quarter and 14% last year. So yes, we've seen something come through in equities. The futures percentage of revenue was just over 50% in the quarter. It was pretty consistent in Q1, but last year it was about 60%. And comparing to last year, when you see such volatile times, you certainly see a lot of trading in indices and gold. Certainly we've seen, actually since September, more of the equities trade come back. And then the second point in terms of promotions, I'll hand that across to Tim.
We've done a couple of different promotions that you might have possibly seen. One is a reactivation program to lapsed clients, and that's actually been really very successful. And then the other was we did a one morning handout at Sevenoaks Station, which was spectacularly unsuccessful.
The next question comes from Martin Price from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just a quick question on the US. I think you repositioned the business in the first half and ramped up some marketing expenditure there. I was just wondering if you're encouraged by how things are going there. Are you seeing much of an uptick in demand yet, please?
We've seen steady growth in volumes and numbers of clients trading. The last couple of months, we've had over 1,000 people in each month trading on the exchange, and that compares to probably more like 500 back in the spring. So good growth there, but it's still relatively early days. And certainly, I think the step the CFTC has taken against in-trade and trade exchange network will benefit us going forward.
Okay, great. Thank you.
The next question comes from Richard Taylor from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Morning. Just a question about the Singapore business, which I know is tucked away in rest of world. Could you give us some indication as to what's happened there since the regulatory changes, whether there's any change in your assessment as to the likely growth prospects in that market following the changes? Thanks.
If the regulatory change you're talking about is the proposed leverage change, it remains exactly that. Still, it's a proposal. MAS haven't yet announced either that those changes are definitely going to be made or indeed when they come into force. So we're still waiting for that. And I'll let Chris talk about how that business is performing.
Morning, Richard. Singapore continues to grow clients. Its clients are up by about 6%, but revenue per client is down by about 10%. So revenue in the quarter is down about 4%. So we are seeing still some growth in client numbers, but that's offset by the revenue per client metric that you see in other markets where, when you know, conditions aren't interesting, clients don't trade as much.
Okay. And is there an expected date for the regulatory changes to hit yet?
When it was first announced back in the summer, we thought it would be in round about now, and as yet they haven't even announced that they're definitely going to do it. So we're completely in the hands of the regulator. Realistically, I think they would have to give at least 3, if not more, months' notice. I think it's unlikely now to bite earlier than right at the end of the financial year, and it could well push into the next financial year.
Okay, thanks very much.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder to ask a question, please press *1. We'll now take our next question from James Hollins from Investec. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I just wanted to chat a bit more about, I think you said that as it stands, we're looking at flat costs year on year. Now, if you do revenue as you've guided, I think that would lead to a PBT decline of about 17%, which I assume you would find unacceptable. I was just wondering why you're not already you know, really hammering down the costs, you know, how bad it would have to be in Q3, particularly as that's an easier comp before you pull the trigger. And if you do pull the trigger on lower cost, how much flexibility is there as we go in through H2 to actually bring the cost down year on year? Because I would certainly have expected, particularly something like bonuses, which had doubled in full year 12, to be considerable flexibility that could come down quite a bit.
Morning, James. Well, certainly there is the flexibility in bonuses, and they will be down significantly year on year, because that's the way that the bonus scheme works. What we've done so far is to take quite a disciplined view of costs. We've taken action which I talked about earlier on, which brings us costs at worst year on year. And I think we want to be quite careful about the stage at which we're at. You know, we can quite clearly see the benefits in terms of the competitive position that Tim was talking to, and that's come from our investment in the market positioning and also the technology. So, you know, the plan is therefore we will watch it very carefully going through the third quarter, and if we need to go back, then we can go back again, and we would look at marketing and we would look at headcount as well as other elements of the cost base. But, you know, clearly it's been discretionary spend that's gone in. It's clearly those areas of marketing and headcount that we would look to address.
Okay, so I mean that's sort of, you're looking at, I guess, on a daily basis what's happening in Q3 and then making decisions accordingly.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. All right, thanks very much.
We now have a follow-up question from Richard Taylor from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Sorry, just to follow up, the bonus pool has been quite volatile over the years. Can you remind us as to whether there's a specific formula? Is it linked to pre-bonus profit or revenue?
It's linked to revenue. We set an expectation at the beginning of the year, and it's measured against that. And clearly our revenues are now significantly down compared to the expectation we had at the beginning of the year, and that will be reflected in the size of the bonus pool. And, you know, that's the pool that everybody's focused on, aside from the exec directors.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder to ask a question today, please press *1. As there are no further questions, I would like to hand the call over to your host for any additional closing remarks.
I've got nothing else to say this morning. Thank you for your time this morning. Obviously, Chris, Kieran and myself will be around this morning if anyone has any further follow-up questions. Thank you.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thanks for participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.